Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Dan Pompey from The Athletic. Dan, what's going on? Thanks for taking time to join us this morning.
Good to be with you guys this morning. Appreciate you having me.
Well, appreciate you coming on with us. And, Dan, you wrote a great piece at The Athletic about Harold Landry, who obviously is having a great season for the Titans and has been one of the key parts about that defense. I encourage people to check it out at theathletic.com. What did you learn about Harold Landry, just generally speaking, as you put this piece together?
Well, you know, it was kind of funny because when I went into the story and the interviews, I was a little concerned. You know, he obviously was having a very good season and a rising star and someone who merited attention. But I really couldn't find a lot that was interesting about him. And I was a little worried about it. And actually, he and I joked about it once we sat down and started talking. But I think I found out a lot of interesting things about him. First of all, that, you know, I think he's a player who has had the success that he's had in part because he's such a versatile player, able to do so many different things. And in that way, he's a little like his head coach was when he was a player playing for New England all those years ago, kind of being used in a lot of the same ways that Bill Belichick used Mike Vrabel. You know, so I think there's that aspect of him, you know, which – in some ways, I think his versatility has worked against him a little bit over the years because people never quite were sure about what he was or what to do with him. But ultimately, I think it's going to be something that really defines him and gives him the value that he has. And then, you know, the other interesting thing about him that we talked about is how being of mixed race kind of helped to shape his worldview and open his mind and connect with a lot of different people in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, it's a tremendous piece, as is the norm for Dan. And Dan, you've also written this year on Mike Vrabel, a really good piece on him for The Athletic. And so obviously you've got some familiarity with this team, with this franchise. You've been writing about the NFL. So first of all, I want to make sure I'm right. Your first year was, as a beat writer, was the 85 Bears. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's a decent first team to cover.
Yeah, well, I always joke that you know, as a Chicago kid, that was my first beat in the NFL, and it's been all downhill since then.
Well, obviously, you know this league well. I'm just curious, you're you know, just about as well as anyone out there. I'm just curious what you think of Vrabel, this team, this franchise, and how they sit in the NFL right now?
You know, I think well, one of the things that Vrabel and I talked about when I was doing the story on him back in the summer was that, you know, one of his goals, you know, people always talk about, you know, you're not complete till you win a Super Bowl. You know, you're not really relevant until you're in that Super Bowl mix. But one of the things that he talked about, what was really important to him, was fielding a team that is competitive week in and week out. And, you know, from there, I think other things naturally kind of flow. But I think he, you know, he's there with the Titans. I mean, this is a team that clearly has been competitive week in, week out for virtually his entire tenure there. They were in a little rough patch recently. Obviously, losing potential MVP candidate is going to kill almost any team. I mean, you know, if you took Aaron Rodgers off the Packers, we saw what they did against the Chiefs that day with Jordan Love. You know, if you took Brady off the block, I mean, you would go on and on. I mean, it's going to have an impact, and the Titans have been impacted. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how they do down the stretch, and especially if and when they can get Derrick Henry back in the lineup.
Dan Pompey on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dan, what do you make of the AFC? We were talking about this earlier in the show. There doesn't appear to be an elite team, but a really fascinating race right now in the AFC. What do you think of the AFC? And if you had to identify a favorite right now, who do you think it would be?
Yeah, it's a really good question. You know, I think you really have to respect where we're standing right now, which is all we really can judge by. You really have to respect the two hot teams in the Patriots and the Chiefs. You know, both teams obviously have Hall of Fame coaches, you know, maybe the best coaches in the league or close to it, you would say. And the Chiefs obviously have an MVP caliber player at quarterback, even though he probably hasn't played to that level this season. But, you know, that's not to say he's not going to when the games are most important. So, you know, I think you really have to credit those teams. But like you say, I do think that it's a little wide open. I don't see one overwhelming team. You know, you look around, certainly I think the Titans are going to be a team that plays into this. I think, you know, the Bengals are a really good team that's been inconsistent, but, you know, they could hit their stride. Chargers are a team that could get hot. And certainly the Bills, even though they lost Monday night, you know, I don't think anyone can write them off or disrespect what they have accomplished so far this season.
Well, let's take it to the other conference. You know, I feel like it's so different because it's not going to be this wild scramble for playoff spots. I mean, there's some really good teams in the AFC who are just not going to be in the tournament. I mean, I could see the Colts making a run, or, you know, they could certainly miss the playoffs. NFC, it's clearer, but the top is, I mean, I can't wait for the postseason to see if we get another Brady Rodgers, to see what Kyler Murray can do. I feel like the Bucs are kind of just weirdly under the radar right now, but what do you think about that side, and who would you put in LA right now if you had to?
Well, I think you've got four kind of super teams from which one of them will emerge, and certainly the Bucs are one, the Packers are one, the Cardinals, all the division leaders, the Cardinals are one, in part because, you know, their defense has been better than a lot of people thought it would be. And then I think the Cowboys are one too, even though, you know, they've struggled a little bit recently. They're another team, like we talked about with the Titans. You know, if they start to get all hands back on deck, I think they could finish really strong, especially if Zeke kind of gets his legs under him and starts running like he can, even though Tony Pollard obviously has been a great find for them. He's helped them win a lot of games. But, you know, I really like those four teams. Bucks are going to be interesting. You know, they're a team, you know, if you look not only last year, but you look at other teams Brady has been on, they've often found ways to peak late in the year, you know, late December, January. So it'll be interesting to see if they can do that. And they're one of those teams, too, that has been really depleted by injury. And I know they hope to get some players back, especially in the defensive backfield. But the team, if I had to pick one right now, the team I'd pick is the Packers. And that's a little contingent on the health of Aaron Rodgers, you know, assuming that toe is not going to give him big, big problems moving forward. But if he can play the way we're accustomed to seeing him play, I think that could be a really good team. And, you know, they could even put themselves in position to have home field advantage for the playoffs, which for them is a bigger advantage than probably any other team.
Yeah, no doubt. So, Dan, you're one of 48 members on the Pro Football Hall of Fame Selectors Board. You're one of 9 members on the Seniors Committee. You've been involved in that for a long time. I just want to get your thoughts on a couple guys of local interest. One, Eddie George. There's a little bit of an opening for him recently, and then just, you know, in real time here, Derrick Henry, as someone who knows well what it takes to be in the Hall of Fame, how do you view him?
Well, you know, in terms of George, he's an interesting case because he's been out there as a candidate for a while now, and we've never even discussed him. So he's certainly worthy of consideration and discussion, you know, because he was the player who really kind of defined what the Titans were about for an entire era. And, you know, a player who was at the focal point of every opponent's game plan, really, during that whole period. So definitely worthy of discussion, and hopefully someday we'll discuss him. In terms of Henry, you know, I think certainly if he keeps producing like he's produced these last few years, he will probably be an easy choice for the Hall of Fame, because he's been a dominant performer who's made big plays, changed games, and, you know, has been pretty much impossible to stop, despite the fact that, you know, all of the energies and people on the opposing teams are focused on stopping him.
Well, Dan, we really appreciate you taking time to join us today here on the program. Great piece on Harold Landry, and I hope you have a good rest of your day. Thanks for coming on with us this morning.
Okay. Appreciate it very much. Have a good day, guys.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dan Pompey from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Dan had to say there. Welcome your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join ESPN The Game Nashville and Newton Motor Group as we team up this holiday season to help children in Middle Tennessee with Souls for Music City. More than 4,000 children in the metro area experience homelessness, and over 18,000 in Middle Tennessee. The Game and Cromwell Media are teaming up with Souls for Souls to provide a new pair of shoes to these children who are experiencing homelessness. Souls for Souls works with our schools and community partners to deliver new shoes to kids who need them to most. Newton Motor Group will be making a donation to Souls for Souls for every test drive at any of Newton Motor Group's four locations now through the end of the year. So make sure you keep that in mind. We need your help to give these kids the joy and confidence that they deserve. More information and to donate, you can go to thegamenashville.com/shoes. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. Thanks to Dan Pompey from The Athletic for joining us in the last segment. Great piece that he's put together on Harold Landry. You can check that out at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Michelle has just tweeted that out. It's a really good piece that Dan Pompey has put together. And that brings up, obviously, Harold Landry having a great season for the Titans. Hopefully he's healthier this week and the hamstring is healed up and he can get back to being his full strength self as they take on the Jags. The question I have for you, Joe Rexroad, is you're already paying Bud Dupree $16 million per season. Harold Landry has been awesome for your team so far this year. We know the conversations around pass rushers with this team and this group and how long it's been since they've had dominant level pass rushers. Harold Landry is going to be expensive. Is it worth it if you're the Titans? Is it a priority if you're the Titans to make sure that no matter what happens this offseason, Harold Landry is here and he's a part of things as they move forward? How do you think John Robinson's going to handle this?
I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. I've kind of been in the camp of, you know, like you can't pay. You can't pay, you know, $16 million or $16.5 million for a edge rusher, and then pay like more than that. Which I think Landry's going to make more than that in his next deal for another edge rusher. Can you?
I mean, be tough.
I mean, it's but at the same time, it's not just that, and it is a great piece by Dan, and brings up that idea. Is he a Titan for life? Is he, you know, where is he going to be next year? It's not just that Landry now he's hitting the numbers, you know, he's finishing more, he's becoming one of the best pass rushers, but also he's been so versatile, so durable, all effort guy, you know, it's like everything you want on your team. So there is a lot beyond just he's a 10 sack guy here, you know. I mean, this is one of those, you know, a good draft pick on your part. You were able to get him in the second round. The people who doubted him on draft day were wrong. You were right for betting on him. At some point, like you need to have second deals with some of your draft picks, and he's a great example. But again, when you paid Bud Dupree that much. Can you pay that much, invest that much into just pass rush? You also, you know, of course, you've paid, you know, you signed Autry. You have Simmons coming up also, by the way.
Yep.
You know, with an option year and then his second deal, which I think he will get from the Titans. If you do this, the only way if you look at, you know, their contracts, like, you're probably signing up for, like, an incredibly cheap and potentially bad offensive line.
Yep.
I can't see. I mean, there's other things. I mean, Kevin Byard has a big number. I'm sure, you know, Skipman wants to get rid of Tannehill now. He's the worst quarterback ever. You know, Tannehill's making 29.5.
It's been a while since you pulled out the Skipman name.
But in all seriousness, I mean, if you're going to look at everything, look at everything. If you think that Tannehill now has been exposed and time to move on, I mean, I guess you could totally change things there. But I think the more realistic, you have Tara Lewan, obviously, but you also have Saffold has one more year on his deal. I mean, it's possible. Like the left, and actually, it's still possible the left side of your line could be all new, and you still don't bring Landry back. But if you are going to entertain bringing Landry back, I think that's like a gimme. That's a starter.
I still think the franchise tag, probably the way this is going to end up with Harold Landry this year.
I think there's a good chance of that.
You can kind of make your decisions from there after that. I mean, it kind of sucks for Harold Landry because, number one, that's a year that you're playing that's you're older and you're not getting a long-term deal. But number two, like, did we ever figure out? Like, I think it is. It's a linebacker position that you're a franchise tag of. Is that correct?
Was that something that we were, like, looking up one day and then we started talking about?
Yeah, I think so.
Like white chicken chili or something on the show? We're the only show in town that's going to be honest with you about white chicken chili.
Yes.
I'm making that this week. That's why it's on the brain. But I think that's right. I will find out what the last cap number for that position was. But, yes. So you're going to get – not only are you going to obviously miss out on the long-term deal, like you said, go a year older, risk injury, all that stuff. You're also going to get paid less in that year than you would have in just one year as an edge guy, which is obviously – there's way more value on those guys than inside linebackers.
Absolutely, and Harold Landry has been awesome so far this year. I mean, that's why – like, it would be great to get Bud Dupree back out there and get a fully healthy Bud Dupree to see them work in tandem and just see what you have, like, in Bud Dupree. Like, Bud Dupree, I think, as he got healthier, you started to see more and more signs of the disruptor that he can be. I mean, the numbers weren't really coming for Bud Dupree in terms of the sack total, but I think you can notice even now. I mean, there's a difference with him not on the field. So, obviously, when you're paying a guy $16 million, you want the numbers along with it, and I understand that, but it'd be nice for him to get healthy. And as they come down the stretch here, if both of those guys are going and going at a high level, we've seen how important that can be for this Titans defense already this year.
Yeah, I mean, again, this you can look at so many different spots in this team and say, get it done this year. You know, who knows what tomorrow will bring? I mean, you know, they've obviously gone – when you trade a second-round pick to get Julio Jones, I mean, that's chips on the table. You know, that's pushing the pile in. So, and there's just – it doesn't mean they're condemned to being terrible in a couple of years. But when you draft, as they've done in the last couple of years, and the way it looks, you are not filling spots as you need to with that draft capital. And it could be tough, along with the second deals coming up for guys and all that stuff. It's a – like, you tag Landry and a few other things, you know, I mean, you can still have a very good team next year. No question, okay? But I still think that there's some key guys on this team right now who are not going to be here next year.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. By the way, Jason in Clarksville texting in. Just heard a promo for REO Speedwagon, Styx, and Loverboy. Two questions. Is Joe going, and has Michelle heard of any of them?
I have heard of Loverboy, guys.
There you go. There you go.
I mean, Michelle's the one who told me during the last break this. What's the date? I mean, are you kidding me? This should be a tailgate. This should be a remote.
One of the most fun concerts I've ever been to was a Styx concert after a Milwaukee Admirals game. I watched from the Admirals bench. It was awesome.
I've never seen Styx live.
They're great.
Did they play Mr. Roboto?
Oh, yeah.
That's just so
funny. It brought the house down, man.
I mean, they made a rock. We could go on and on about Styx making a rock opera about like that. Oh, man. Oh, the Behind the Music Styx?
Yeah.
Highly recommend. So, wait, Styx, Loverboy, and who else?
REO Speedwagon.
A little REO Speedwagon? Yeah. Come on. I promise you there's three songs that if you played them, you'd be like, oh, I know that song. I promise
one
you.
One for three.
I promise you know REO Speedwagon.
You know Styx, too.
Oh, you know Styx, too. Absolutely.
I'll do some research during the break.
We're all good. We're all good.
We'll come back, take your thoughts on the Titans. We got some tickets to give away coming up next as well. All that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, now with two locations in Murfreesboro. Visit their brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. All the sweet, sweet sounds of Styx.
Well, now that I think about it, you're a Steelers fan. I mean, Renegade, that's like their whole thing. Is Renegade, you know this.
I know. Junie just texted me and said, Mishar, are you living under a rock? And I played this song for him because he's a big Steelers fan, too. So
there you go.
Steel City, baby.
Shout out, Junie.
Look up. There's a bunch of other Styx and REO that you got in the bank, I promise you. Like, you can't. Right? Like somewhere it's going to be played near you.
You guys are really culturally educating me, you know, on music, movies,
sure,
shows. I just have to make the Excel sheet.
When you want to be
shepherding you through life with Styx and REO Speedwagon.
When you want to be educated, you come to Robbie Stanley and Joe Rex.
That's right.
That's what we've learned here on the program.
Lucky me, I get to come here every day.
Every day.
By golly.
Wayne from Spring Hill texting in. Joe already has his front row seats. Hashtag boomer.
What is the date? I'm not kidding.
We'll look it up.
August, maybe, or something.
Okay. I mean, I've got some stuff. I got my Red Hot Chili Peppers tickets already for Nissan.
I think they said Journey, too, is that weekend or something. Or I could just totally be wrong, but I heard that.
What would you do?
My Fresh goodness. Cries.
The endorphins just spilling out of my ears. My gosh.
We've got some tickets to give away to the Transperfect Music City Bowl coming up on Thursday, December the 30th to see the Vols take on Purdue. Be caller number 3-615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see the Vols take on Purdue at the Transperfect Music City Bowl coming up on December the 30th. So hit up our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025.
Okay, so I've got some answers. First of all, yes, you're right. And I think we talked about this, but maybe not. But yes, it's linebacker. Linebacker alone. So the 21 tag value on that is 14.8. So, you know, you assume it goes up a little bit. But basically, if the Titans tag Landry, and I think you're right, we've talked about it before, and we'll talk about it again, and we'll probably be right because it probably makes the most sense. You're talking about 15-something probably to tag him, and what that means is he's making quite a bit less than he would. Like, I bet you he could get, like, 4 years for 80 or something like that, five for 100. I don't know, something like that out on the market. So I think that's positive. By the way, when you look at these tag values, you know, quarterback. What would you guess the quarterback tag value was in 21?
In 21, the average top five, right? I would say $37 million.
Yeah, so it's 25.1.
That's the average?
Yep.
Wow.
So that is. I agree. That's a little bit surprisingly low number. But, you know, it's also – Like cap hits, for example, cap hits.
Sure.
Ryan Tannehill next year. If you want to go into, let's say, so Ryan Tannehill next year, 38.6 is his cap number. So even if it's just the tag, okay, run it back for another year. You're not having a huge investment. So here are cap numbers for next year. I just mentioned Tannehill. He's at the top, 38.6. Dupree, 19.2. Julio, 14.3.
Yep.
Saffold, 12.9. Lawan, 14.7. Henry, the bargain of the decade, $15 million. Kevin Byard, 15.8. I mean, I look at another guy in here. I mean, Janoris Jenkins, 10.2. I mean, there's some moves here that you can run through your head. Now, you know, his dead cap number, if you were to cut him, is still 3.2. I mean, that's a hit. Now, Lawan's dead cap number is 1.8. So, you know, next year is the year that it becomes possible to move on from him. But, again, I asked a question. It's like the Forsberg question to me Okay. So who's your left tackle? One of the most important positions in the NFL. You're just going to ham and egg that? And I mean, your pass rush looks good, but I mean, there's a lot of really tough choices ahead here.
There's a lot of really tough choices ahead, and it's one of those things, too, where, you know, when you look at the defensive side of the ball, you've worked to get to this point where the pass rush – I mean, we talked about it. The pass rush is so important. Brady was great last year. Probably the main reason they won the Super Bowl last year was the pass rush that Tampa Bay had in the NFC title game and in the Super Bowl against Kansas City. I mean, it was relentless with Shaq Barrett and Jason Pierre-Paul and all these different guys they had coming off the edge. Like, if you had Bud Dupree and Harold Landry playing at a high level for the next 2 or 3 years, we talk about the window for the Titans all the time. To me, that extends your window when you have a pass rush that's that effective. Regardless of, obviously, I mean, the givens of Tannehill's going to have to play better. Derrick Henry's going to have to be healthy and play like Derrick Henry. All those things are given in this discussion, but part of extending that window is having a pass rush that can be disruptive, and we've seen how hard it is to win in the playoffs without that if you're the Titans.
Right, so no question. And, you know, Simmons, of course, I mean, right now he's on his rookie deal, which is great. I mean, you're going to be able to, you know, I think he'll get his fifth-year option for 23.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, you know, he's a $4 million cap hit in 22. But, like, this is where you need – well, first of all, this is where, had you drafted well on the O-line, you'd be in position to address it. This is where, like with Jenkins, for example, although, again, that's $3 million in dead money. That's not great. But if Caleb Farley is ready to go along with Fulton, along with Molden, okay, you could be pretty good there and cheap there. I mean, that's what you have to be able to cycle through in a lot of these spots. So that could be part of the answer. I just don't know what the answer is up front offensively. I mean, Dylan Radom.
Just keep drafting them. It's going well.
Well, I mean, but that's the thing. You have to, right?
I know.
Like, honestly, if you look at this, what do you have to do in the next draft? I could argue that you have to draft a left tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, not ideal, but that's like the position you've been put in. I mean, like Saffold, certainly. What's Saffold's dead number? Okay, his dead number is 2-4. So Saffold and Lawan, you could be moving on from that left side, and that could help, of course, in the other areas. That's where, okay, so is Dylan Radom's going to be ready to – right now he's a rookie backup interior lineman. Is he ready to be a starting left guard for you to go with Nate Davis on the other side? And I still ask again, who is your left tackle?
Yeah.
Going to be a rookie that you draft probably low in the first round? I mean, I honestly haven't even looked at like left tackles in the this draft yet, but
– please don't.
I mean – you know, tight end is another place, receiver, but
yeah,
that was talked about those for the last draft too, and didn't really happen.
Well, and also, like, I mean, I think you've got a semi-easy cut candidate if Julio doesn't pick it up, if he doesn't get healthy, like, he's not going to be here next year. I mean, there's no way you can do that if you're the Titans, based on the situation that you're in right now with the cap.
But understand, cap number 14-3, and by the way, this is over the cap. Dead number, if you cut him before June 1, 13.2.
Yep.
So
if you cut him after, it's 4.8.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, and even that's not, I mean, it's not great.
It's not cheap.
It's not ideal. But, yeah, the thing is, you know, with him, I still think that if he returned to Julio and he was healthy, which I know seems like right now seems like how could you even speculate that would happen? But it is possible.
Sure.
You could still have a really good player there. But, yeah, as of now, not working out so well.
Well, the conversation on him is not a good one at the moment for the Titans. But, I mean, he's also a guy that he can totally change that if you have a big push here to end the regular season. And certainly, like, the playoffs. Like, that's what Julio Jones was ultimately brought in for, was to help you win games in the playoffs and try to win a Super Bowl. So, I mean, if they're able to do that, like if Derrick Henry gets healthy and Julio Jones is a factor in this offense, I mean, that totally changes the conversation on Julio Jones moving into next year. At least I would think so.
No, I agree. And meanwhile, when you go through all these cap numbers and stuff, you remember like how good this team could be if these guys get healthy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jim, that's why they went for it.
Jim on the text line says, moving on from LaJuan would haunt us like the suck-up move. It's coming from Jim on the text line.
Maybe.
Could be. I mean, yeah.
Some of the answer to that, too, is how does he finish the season? Does he stay totally healthy? He's had a couple, like, scares to go with, obviously, coming off the ACL and everything. And he's had, you know, obviously, especially the first game. And a PFF grade of 33.7. Welcome back into the game, 10-1.
It'll never get old.
Yeah, but if he plays really well down the stretch here, they are not easy to find of that caliber. I know some people out there like, oh, they call him the podcaster. The podcaster. Like, podcasting makes you bad at football. But it's just not easy to find a good left tackle.
I got a text that says, who's going to be the right tackle, too? Are we re-signing Ben Jones? Like, that's another thing. Like, Ben Jones, his time in the NFL is probably getting close to coming to an end, I would think.
Yeah. I would think, too. But they love him. And he is absolutely, I think he's a glue guy in the locker room. He's a leader. So, let's see. He's, you know, right now, they signed with the 2-year 13.5. Which expires after this year. I don't know. I guess moving on.
I'd guess.
But could you do something a little bit lower cost moving forward and keep him? I think it's probably worth talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a lot of decisions that John Robinson and company are going to have to make this offseason. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, including could there be some trouble coming up in Buffalo after their loss the other night against the Patriots. A pretty funny exchange after that game the other night. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win tickets to an upcoming sporting event or concert. Go to thegamenashville.com for more details and to play. Silly underdog picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Joe, it was a tough loss for the Buffalo Bills on Monday Night Football against the Patriots. The winds were swirling. The snow was falling, and Mac Jones gave his right arm the night off in that game, throwing the ball only 3 times, and the Patriots still win 14-10 in that matchup. The Bills drop to 7-5, and some frustration appears to be boiling over with this group. There was an exchange between a couple of Bills players and Jerry Sullivan, who covers the Bills out there in Buffalo, after the game following their loss to the Patriots that was caught on video. Here is that exchange between two Buffalo Bills players and Jerry Sullivan after the game.
Over 40 years since the team has won a game running that 2 times in a game, passing that 3 times. Is that embarrassing?
I mean, what kind of question?
Boy, what are we doing, bro?
What kind of question is that?
It's a question. The nation's
going to
be criticizing you.
All right. I think we gave up 7 points.
Yeah,
14 to 10.
Is that the final score?
We made stops when we had to. They had one big run. I mean, they got good backs. They kept coming back to a couple runs. I mean, I don't know how you want us to answer that question.
That's funny. We'll remember that. I'll remember that.
That was Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde of the Bills after the game getting upset with Jerry Sullivan's questions there, which was basically, you're embarrassed by this, was basically what the question was. And pretty upset for Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer, even saying, we'll remember that after.
Yeah.
The Bills getting a little salty after the game.
Yeah, Micah Hyde then actually also kind of off podium was like, I come out here every week. I'm paraphrasing, but I come out here every week. Don't, you know, and talk to you guys, I'm honest with you, don't do that. That's what he said. Then he moved on. So I have a lot of thoughts on that whole thing. First of all, It's not a great question. And here's a nice, you know, like journalism 101 thing, which I totally violate a lot. If you ask yes or no questions, like what kind of answer do you think you're going to get? Again, yeah. Sometimes you have to ask yes or no questions. Sometimes you have to. But the question of like, I mean, it's a very valid thing to bring up. But I think it was basically the first time in, what, 40 years, 40 plus years, someone had thrown that little and won a game. But then the question, are you embarrassed? So, again, even if they like you don't piss them off, that are you going to get a yes or a no? I mean, it's a yes or no question. I mean, right. There's a lot of better ways to ask players about the context of that, right? An open-ended question where, like, you know, or even you know, something like, what happened? How would you explain the fact that they threw three times and you lost? Right? Like,
sure.
Are you embarrassed is a little bit performative to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know Jerry. I mean, I'm familiar with Jerry Sullivan. He's been doing it a long time. But that seemed a little bit performative. This is also an example of the problem that I hope gets resolved in the future of no open locker room. Because when you have a press conference setting like that, then it sets up the more performative questions, if that's what that was. And also, then of course, it's also the player on the spot, and you're much more likely to have a reaction like that. If you're in a locker room, you can go up to people that you normally talk to, and you can ask a lot of different kinds of questions, and you can get an actual response of substance to that kind of question. Again, I just like the question is like, are you embarrassed? You know, but I think there's a valid question there of like, how stunning is that? Could you have guessed that you would? The other team would throw three times,
right.
would have 19 passing yards, and you would lose. You know. So anyway, it was all. And of course, a lot's been made of this. And of course, then he said, "In my day," Jerry said back at them, "In my day, you know, players answered questions like that." So now I feel old.
Very old man yelling at the cloud response.
Yeah, and I mean, again, it's like, but the thing is, in his day. Again, these conversations were in a locker room for the most part, and that's a totally different dynamic. So I hope the NFL sees the value in that.
I hope so, too. I will say, it's pretty entertaining. Like, if you watch the video that goes along with it, like the face of Micah Hyde as this question is being asked, it's pretty awesome. I enjoyed it.
So is this, like, I'm old, you're much younger than me. Is this a players today are too soft moment for you?
No, I just thought that was a pretty stupid question. Like, okay. To me, that screamed like fanboy question, honestly. Are you embarrassed?
Yeah.
Like, you know, the people that just yell at us at like on Pred's Facebook or you should hold these guys accountable. Right. Put their feet to the fire.
Right.
Like, okay, well, what does that mean? What questions do you want to be asked?
Right. Are you firing like everyone now?
Yes.
If you don't fire your entire staff, are you going to go to bed embarrassed by that?
Right.
Yeah,
that's kind of what it felt like.
It's a bad question. I agree. It's a bad question. I think, you know, maybe it's true that back in the day, someone would have taken that on and said, you know what? I am embarrassed, and I vow to Bills Nation, Bills Mafia, it'll never happen again or something like that. But, yeah, I don't know. I thought the players reacted fine. I don't blame them for being upset. Again, it's if this is what we're going to be reduced to, I guess there's maybe more entertaining things like this for people like us to talk about, but it's bad for content. It's bad for conversations, relationships, every single thing. And I fear that the NFL doesn't give a crap because the ratings are sweet as ever.
Money's still rolling in. This could be a problem. Look, I've said, I don't know that it's ever going to fully get back. And I'm scared that could be the case. Certainly in the NHL. We'll see about the NFL as well, but, I think the press conference game may have changed forever.
I mean, we don't have time for me to start complaining again about what the NHL does and how the NHL should never, ever, ever let the NFL have better access. But, if the NFL goes to that, then why wouldn't the NHL?
Yeah. It's interesting.
And I know, I mean, look, I understand that, like, a lot of people listening or reading or following along are like, okay, so, why do I care? Well, again, if you like better information and stories and things like that, then you should care. I mean, it's just there's way more that can be. This is all very surface stuff until you actually have a chance to dig in on some things, like Dan Pompey did with Harold Landry. You know, when he got he told a great story, a lot of stuff we didn't know about him. That stuff becomes a lot more scarce with access like this.
On the football side of things, Bill's going to go from two extremes this week, going from someone who throws the ball three times to Tom Brady, who might throw it 48 times on Sunday. Going to be two different things this week for the Bills.
And both Belichick disciples. How about that?
That is correct.
What if Tom Brady was still his quarterback? How many times would Belichick still have said, "Tom, you're handing off tonight, buddy. I don't care. We're handing off."
Bet it would have been more than three.
Maybe more than three.
Shane from Ashland City texting in. If it's an embarrassing situation, then that question is legitimate, and I think you get a legitimate answer. But they gave up a touchdown and two field goals in the NFL. What's embarrassing about that? It's coming from Shane in Ashland City.
Yeah, well, but I hear you, and that's kind of what their response was too. Like, we give up 14 points. But again, the weather dictated that. The Patriots basically said, we're just going to run the ball all night.
Right.
And you lost. Now, granted, you lost because you're up. I mean, to me, the much bigger blame goes on the Bills' offense for not finishing the red zone multiple times, right?
Yeah.
But it is wild to think that you could give up 19 yards passing in an NFL game and lose. That's wild.
It's pretty nuts.
And again, there were too many moments in that game where it's like, it's 3rd and 7. They're not going to pass. They just converted.
Yeah.
Like, you can't let it happen. But, yeah, I mean, I also hear what you're saying.
Bowl season is the best season. ESPN The Game Nashville is your home for college football bowl games and the college football playoff, brought to you by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. 312 Pizza Company is the perfect spot to catch every game during bowl season. For a list of games carried on 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9, hit up our website at thegamenashville.com/bowl games. When we come back, we'll get into the Nashville Predators, a win last night in Detroit, including some breakout performances for some big names on the Predators. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.